term. I think it's just helpful to think through a couple things and say a couple things. This week, we saw a level of widespread response in the U.S. that is unprecedented in my lifetime to date. Massive events, locations being closed, and everything from the NCAA to NBA to Disneyland has been shut down. School districts being closed, universities shutting down, and even restrictions in some places regarding the size of gatherings and such like that. And what we're seeing is just people living in fear and people living in panic and responding with those things as well. And I wrote this on Friday afternoon, and I've already had to adjust it with things happening. As of last night, currently 6 cases have arrived in Montana, 2 here in Missoula that have been confirmed. And if your email's like mine, you're getting constant emails from everywhere from Pizza Hut to Hotels.com on what they are doing to combat the coronavirus. I would just like to know that they're still going to keep making toilet paper, whether or not Pizza Hut is wiping their pizzas well, I don't know. So how are we to respond as Christians to this situation that's sweeping our nation by storm, taking all of the toilet paper and dried beans with it? Which, by the way, we are going to have security posted at the door. Make sure nobody's sneaking toilet paper out of here. Because we do have some downstairs. No, I'm kidding. But I think it's as Christians, it's important that we think about this. And as if things progress, I'll likely have more to say next week. But as Christians, we stand in a unique position when something like this happens. It's interesting if you look at church history, when major things happen, like the Black Plague or Yellow Fever or the Spanish Flu, it was Christians and missionaries that were running to help people while everybody else was running away. And so as Christians, we need to recognize who we are in Christ and what it is that Christ has called us to, and that needs to govern our response to things like this. And so I want to encourage us this morning with a few points to consider. I just want to take a couple minutes and lay these out. Kind of, we could call these the, when something like this is going on, the guidelines or the biblical principles that should always be before us. And the first is this, that we serve a sovereign God who is sovereignly in control of everything. I would encourage you, spend time in Isaiah 40 through 48 in these weeks and be reminded of the God we serve. In Isaiah 40, we are told that God knows the exact amount of water in the oceans. He knows the exact grains of sand that are on the earth. He knows all of the stars. He knows all of the planets. He calls them out by name each night. He sovereignly places them in the sky. In Psalm 139, we read that God knows the number of hairs on our head, even if you don't have any. He knows how many you did have. He knows the thoughts that you have. He knows the words that are in your mind before you even speak them. He intimately knows us, and he deeply loves us. And so we need to recognize that this sovereign God is the God who is for us. He's not against us. And so he's worthy of our trust and reliance, which is the second thing we need to keep in mind. So the first thing, God is sovereign. The second thing we need to keep in mind is that God is worthy of our trust. This sovereign God who knows all of these things, who is in control of all these things, who has this wisdom, is worthy of our trust. And so we are to wholeheartedly trust him. To trust him means to cast ourselves upon him, to entrust ourselves to him, to lean upon him. And situations such as this, I think, can really test where does our faith really lie. Do we trust a sovereign God, or do we trust a healthcare system? What do we trust? God tells us much of who he is so that we would better trust him. And so in this situation, just like in all situations, we are called to trust the Lord and rest in him. We are not called to just simply trust the Lord when all is well and all things are in order. We as Americans have been blessed to live in a lot of luxury, and I think it robs us some of the ability to trust in the Lord when things are in disarray. Now, just to clarify, with that being said, I do want to clarify a couple of things, and that doesn't mean that if necessary, we are not to take wise and prudent steps. Nowhere does the Bible call us to just trust the Lord and don't worry about anything else. No, we are called to wisdom. We are called to protect. We are called to care for those we love, and so trust means that we will act wisely. There's a reason why, as we've been going through Ephesians, we were told in chapter 5, walk wisely. We are to walk wisely. So we are to, as we trust the Lord, make wise decisions. And so I've been closely monitoring our local instructions for our area and recommendations from the CDC. And so as the upcoming week progresses, we'll continue to monitor these things as a leadership team and follow the instructions that come to us. We may be asked not to gather, and if so, we would comply with that. There's a difference between being asked not to gather for the spread of a virus as opposed to not meeting because they don't want a church to meet for religious reasons. And so we, in that case, would submit and love our city and love our people by complying with that. But right now, we just don't know. And so wise and prudent steps, as far as the current situation, is like whenever there's a flu season going around, wash your hands. If you're sick and don't feel well, stay home. And it may be wise for those who have severe underlying health conditions to remain close to home or just staying at home. And so we should take steps of wisdom and care, but we cannot take those steps of wisdom and care in fear and anxiety, but rather in exercising biblical wisdom that's based upon trusting the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, which then leads to my third point here, and that is we must not give way to fear. We must not give way to fear. All through the Bible, we are told, don't fear. 1 John 4 tells us perfect love casts out fear. As Paul shared last week, Matthew 6, Jesus tells us not to worry. Guess what was happening when I stepped out of my house this morning to drive to church? The birds were singing like crazy. Why? Because the Lord provides for them. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 6, he cares for them, he cares for us. And how many times did we see Jesus saying, fear not, fear not, fear not? And so we must not be overcome by fear. For years now, we have been living in a culture of fear. I've observed this for many years now. If you just watch advertising, we are a culture played upon by fear. If you're not driving with these tires on your car, you will probably not be able to stop when that semi runs a red light and your child will die. If you don't take this medication, you will probably wake up with severe illness and probably be dead by that night. You know, if you watch advertising on TV, it's all fear-based. Not all, most of it is fear-based. If you don't drive this car with these airbags, well, then you're probably going to die if you get in an accident. It's all fear-based. Our culture is ripe for this because of this fear that has often been played upon us. And so it's easy to get caught up in it. It's easy to get caught up in this torrent of fear and panic and dread that our culture is in right now. But I would just admonish us, we must keep perspective, both biblically and numerically. Just some numbers as I've been watching things, you know, just perspective-wise, I am not a doctor and will not pretend to be one, okay? But just looking, watching statistics over the last week, current as of last night, 80,000 people have been infected in China. Just consider the population of China and what percentage that is. And as of right now, cases are on the decline steadily in China. There's currently 3,000 in the U.S., and again, considering the population of the U.S., consider that percentage. There's 160,000 worldwide, and again, just consider the worldwide population. Consider the percentages there. The numbers remain low. And I just want us to keep in mind the perspective of what's really happening. But then even if those numbers were totally different, and even if we were facing a virus that had a mortality rate of 1 out of 4 or 1 out of 5, the biblical principles would remain the same. And so we must be people who have steadfast trust in the Lord. We must be people that flee from the temptation to fear, even though it can be great. And we resist that temptation by placing our trust in a sovereign God who's in control and loves us deeply. We must never separate those two things, the sovereignty of God and his unending love for us. Those two things are united. Remember Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 41:10, great text to keep in mind. "Fear not," God says, "for I am with you." And then fourth thing that I think we need to keep in mind as Christians is we are to be a light of the gospel to the world. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:14 that we are the light of the world. We are to share the hope of Christ with a hurting world. And friends, we can't be a light to the world if we are functioning and acting and thinking and speaking the same way as the rest of the world. We just simply won't be a light. Now remember, we've been learning from Ephesians to live to the praise of the glory of God. And the time is ripe right now to live to the praise of the glory of God. Colossians 3 reminds us of the same things. Do all things, Paul writes in Colossians 3, for the glory of God. And so this is a unique situation for those who are Christians, those who are trusting in Christ, to exhibit hope, to be at peace, and to let the light of Christ shine in the world, remaining level-headed. So it's a unique situation for Christians to bring calm to a chaotic world. We will not be the light of the gospel if Christians are responding in chaos just like the world. We will show that our trust is no different than theirs, and our God is no different than whatever God they serve. And so it's a unique situation for Christians to share the hope of Christ. So you see, friends, if we're really following Christ, if we're truly putting our trust in Christ, then our hope is not in escaping from a virus. Our hope is not having enough food stocked up to get us through May. Our hope is in Christ. He is our joy. He is our delight. He is our purpose for living. And so let this be a time in which you live the light of Christ and live as a light for the gospel of Christ. Be bold. Be compassionate. Be hopeful. Be at peace. And live in the hope of the gospel and share the hope of Christ. And lastly, pray for this situation. Pray for those who are working in these situations, those particularly in the healthcare industry are bombarded right now and weary, just trying to just deal with the fear, let alone the virus itself. So pray for those. Pray for the Lord's protection and wisdom for those who are needing to make significant decisions right now. Pray for the healthcare workers to have love, fearlessness, and patience. Pray for the gospel to go forward in a time like this. Pray that it could be an unprecedented time in which people turn to Christ in faith and recognize the gods that they've been following in this world will not deliver them. Pray for opportunities to share the hope of Christ with those whom you come in contact with and discuss at work. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel, to share the hope of Christ. And so let's just keep these things in mind. Those principles I think are important for us regardless of the severity of anything that we're dealing with. And so with those things in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Father, we are reminded with something like this that your word is true. Because several times in your word, we are told that we are but dust. We are like the grass of the field that grows up and then withers. We are like the flower that blooms and then shortly fades away. And quite frankly, we are humbled by something like this that reminds us that we really are frail. We really can be taken out by a very small thing we can't even see with our eyes. And so we're reminded of our need to trust in you, to hope in you. We are reminded that our hope is not in being comfortable. Our hope is not in having our health. Our hope is not in our healthcare system. But our hope is in you, the God who reigns. And so may we remember these things, Lord. And may these things serve as a reminder of where our hope needs to lie. And may we indeed be humbled. And Father, we pray for grace and we pray for compassion and love towards those who are in fear right now and those who are borderline panic. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to exhibit the same love that Christ exhibited when he would walk into a leper colony. When he would walk into a group of people who were sick and dying. When he would sit in the house and receive the countless people coming who were sick. Father, may we exhibit that same attitude as our Lord and Savior did. May we have compassion. May we have love and may we have grace. But may we also have boldness and courage to share where hope really lies, that hope is found in Christ. And Lord, we pray for this time to be a time in which your gospel would shine forth. We pray that this would be a time in which many would come to saving faith in Christ as their idols are exposed for what they are. And Lord, we also pray for those in our church who are in the healthcare field, Lord, and the many struggles they are dealing with and the weight and the pressure that they feel right now. We pray that you would sustain them, that you would strengthen them, that you would protect them, and that you would watch over them. And we pray also for those in that field who are not in our church, that you would give them wisdom and compassion and care as they care for this situation, Lord. And Father, I pray for us as a church to have wisdom and that those in our church would be wise and take steps, Lord. And Father, I pray for those who are ill or have underlying health conditions that you would guard them and protect them, Lord. And so, Father, we praise you that we can come together this morning and worship you and be reminded of truths and be reminded of where our hope lies. And God, we also want to lift up to you the missionaries we support this morning and the unique struggles they are facing, Lord. I pray for the Johnsons as they are struggling to figure out how to minister on campus with large gatherings being closed and classes being closed and the different things that they are facing. We pray also for the Naltis as they are facing the same thing and pray that you would give them wisdom. We pray for the Wilsons in Thailand and that you would guard them and protect them as they're facing unique challenges also. And so, Father, we pray for these who are ministering, Lord. And we also think of Will and Lom Brock and Lom with her conditions with her lungs from many years of ministering in China. And we pray, Lord, that you would protect them. And so, Father, we turn to you and we recognize that we are frail, but you are our God and you are our hope and you are our strength. And we are reminded from your word that you are always with us in all times. And so, Father, as we continue to worship you, we ask that you would be glorified, that our hearts would be turned to you, and that we would find our hope and joy in you. And we praise you that we get to live life together. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.